Blog Talk Radio. Well, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to the Don S. McClure Show, and of course, I am the one and only Don S. McClure. Now, tonight's show is going to be special. It's going to be a great show, and I think you're really going to enjoy it. So I want you to sit back and relax and enjoy this special one-hour presentation. Now, the first segment of our show is supported by Evelyn Young of Indianapolis, Indiana, for her purchase of all six of my books. So we always have to say thank you to somebody special, and that today is Evelyn Young. I also want to send a shout-out to my friend and cohort and business representative in Atlanta, Arlene Mack. Special show coming for you. We're going to be talking about the creative, poetic works of Walter Benton. And that's probably a poet that you haven't heard of, but his work was phenomenal. And a lot of his pieces were produced from his personal diary. So I want you to sit back for a minute and relax. And what we're going to do is take a quick PSA, and when I come back, we'll be ready to talk about love, romance, and how I got inspired to write. Because of Walter Benton, I created Romantic Images of You, Where My Heart Belongs. So give me a minute. I'll be right back after the short PSA, and we'll be ready to start the show.
What's wrong with your face? If you're over 30 and experience facial redness, it could be an early warning sign of rosacea. It's a common, embarrassing, and often life-disruptive facial disorder that usually gets worse without medical help. Rosacea often begins as flushing or redness on the face that comes and goes. Over time, the redness becomes ruddier and more persistent, and tiny blood vessels may appear. Without treatment, bumps and pimples often develop, and in some people, the eyes may become watery or bloodshot. In advanced cases, the symptoms grow increasingly severe, and the nose may become red and swollen from excess tissue. 16 million Americans have rosacea, yet only a small fraction are being treated. Why let these symptoms wreak havoc on your personal or professional life? Don't ignore the warning signs. Rosacea can easily be treated. See a dermatologist or visit the National Rosacea Society at rosacea.org.
And we're back, and you're listening to the Don S. McClure Show. And, of course, I am the one and only Don S. McClure. Now, if you want to call in with some questions, you can. You can reach me at 347-633-9376. That's the number you could call in, or you could write me, like a lot of people do, at McClure, Don S, at gmail.com or McClure.Don.S@yahoo.com. I've got two emails. So, again, you can reach me at those. It's really a pleasure to be here. And, again, I want to thank my fans, friends, Facebook supporters, Twitter, and all of my relatives that listen to my show and my friends. I think that that's great to have so much support. We're going to give you the numbers on Facebook, how many people are listening to the show, and believe you me, it is truly growing. Now, back to Walter Benton. As I said, a lot of you were never aware of who Walter Benton was. He was born in 1907, and he died in 1976. Now, he's the child that were Russian immigrants, and his parents lived in Austria. But in 1913, they relocated to the United States. So during World War I and after the Great Depression, Benton worked various odd jobs, which enabled him to attend the University of Ohio, or as it was put at that time, the Ohio University, where he graduated in 1934. Now, I remember it was a while ago. I was driving down the highway late at night, and I heard this beautiful rendition of Walter Benton's work. And I wasn't aware of whether he was black, white. I had no idea he had Russian parents. I didn't know that he was born in Russia. I just knew that I liked soundtrack of Arthur Prysock. It was great. I mean, I was really fascinated by that. So as years went on, I bought the album over and over again, and it inspired me that I said, when I get ready to write something, I want it to be based on the album, This Is My Beloved, by Arthur Prysock. But I still had no idea that I was listening to the beautiful words created by Walter Benton. And that's something we need to think about. A lot of times we're hearing great songs, and we really don't know the writers behind those songs. Dolly Parton's wrote a lot of great songs that people have sang, and we just didn't give her the credit. We gave the artist the credit. But Walter Benton's work was so impressive. His books that were addressed as Lillian was written in a diary form, and it was described in 1949 and said to be the best-selling poetry volume of recent years. His pieces sold 350,000 copies at that time. Atlantic Records decided to issue as the first 33. Now, you know, that's a large record, so most of us wasn't around when they were doing 33s. But it was a 33. It's a long-playing album in March of 1949. And the narration was first done by John Dell. Now, he's an actor that if you've ever seen the movie Spartacus, he's in that movie. He's playing one of the Roman commanders who's going against Spartacus. But he created this album because he had a great voice. And he spoke excellent, I mean, really well. So they scored this piece for 28 pieces with an orchestra. They had 16 voices in the background from the choir. And they had all these jazz musicians. So, I mean, it was really, really a great thing. Then later on, Arthur Prysock read the verses from Benton's book of poems and then decided that he would use it in the backdrop of his 1968 album, called This Is My Beloved. Well, a lot of people were working on Benton's work. I mean, This Is My Beloved was narrated in 1956 by Alfred Ryder. The music score was by Vernon Duke, and another one in 1962 by Lawrence Harvey. And this was accompanied by Herbie Mann. So his work was just phenomenal. We're going to play a piece for you that I fell in love with. It's called Remembering However, When We Could Be Warm Together. And I want you to listen to the words in this poem to music, and it's kind of the things that I want to do with the book Romantic Images of You. But I'll play it so you can kind of get an idea of why I was so inspired.
When all the poems on the theme have been written, and all the night and day dreams dreamt, without prophecy or fulfillment, when hope sustains us no longer, nor being drunk or busy or therapeutically in love keeps us from remembering. When we have forgotten even why we parted, if we ever knew it at all. Remembering, however, when we could be warm together, kiss though with a cold, when even baby talk became you, yes, and everything I said was sweet or funny, and everything you did was beautiful. I keep your eyes by heart after the very first reading. I could repeat them in detail, remembering their elements in pearls and moonstones, and the dark wings of a starling, and the bright morning faces of asters. I learned your hair many ways, by the musk and visually, by the braille touch. After one fitting only, if I could cup my hands just so, as if they held your face. Blindfolded, I could kiss a thousand mouths and know your lips. I could tell time by your mouth's kisses. Feel rich red colors, taste sun ripe fruits. I know the season of the year. I took your body like a glass of sweet milk at bedtime, and my eyelids let go at the hinges when I loved you. When you were all I, and all of me was you. My season rhymed with your season, and our bodies made music and gave light, and all things absolute. I have looked too long upon you, too long, and with so much love that strangers can see you in my face, as the sun in vivid colors leave an after image in the eyes.
Now, when I first heard that, I was driving along. It had to be about 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning. The stars are out. I'm enjoying the ride. Convertible top. Y'all always drive a convertible. Love them. And I hear this, and I am so fascinated that I decide, you know what? I have got to learn to write like that when I do my poetry. There were a lot of movies that I enjoyed, a lot of things that I looked at, but I really felt that if I could take that type of emotion, which is what I gained from that, it was a story that was written. The story starts off about a young man that meets a girl. He falls in love with her during wartime. They meet, they enjoy each other, and then at the end of the poems, she walks away and she leaves him at the church, and he doesn't know why. And he writes a poem for that. So all of these things that we as writers, people are always asking us, where do we get our inspiration from? Well, a lot of times, like in my book, Romantic Images of You, I did take some of the personal situations that happened, wrote them into the story of David and Tiana falling in love, and then I added the imagination part of it. But I wanted that beauty of the closeness that Walter Bent wrote about. Now, for some reason, a lot of people in the literary world, again, didn't really push Walter Benton's work in colleges and study classes. But there were some instructors who felt his work was so above the rest that they did teach some of the students. And when I was doing some research and checking on what people thought, how they looked at it, I was reading all the comments that people were like, they had bought the album like I did. They were glad they found it in their study classes. And I went online and I found the original books from this man's diary that were published on Amazon. So I'm going to get me a copy of that because I was so fascinated with his work. I mean, somebody to return from the war, World War II, to the war, He went to his new job, pursuing a career as a writer, so he never gave that up. He never gave up the fact that he really wanted to be a writer. His work was published in Yale Review. It was called the Saturday Review of Literature, Esquire, The New Republic, and several other publications also published his work. His two books of poetry are his best-known works. This Is My Beloved was published in 1943. So when we talk about old school, that's kind of what we're talking about. And this became one of the best-selling books of poetry in the world. The volume was followed by another book of love poems entitled Never a Greater Need. And that was published in 1948. I want to add those books to my music collection. So unique in the way that he described his personal life from a diary, and then it ended up being the poetry that people all over the world in different countries, I mean, just everywhere, decided to indulge and partake into this man's life. Now, Benton suffered a massive stroke, and in 1965, he was cared for by his niece, Jeanette. And he was placed in a nursing home where he died in 1976. So almost for 10 years, he was in a nursing home. Now, can you imagine this great man, great writing ability, touching the world, and his last days or last years are spent in a nursing home? Now, his niece, Jeanette, did go by and take care of him, but it was still the point of such a great artist. I didn't hear about until the early 70s. And so that to me is amazing. I don't think that you could get any better than that. There's an American poet and singer, Rod McEwen, has said that his most romantic poetry was influenced by Benton's two books of poems. So I think there were a lot of people who felt like I did once you heard it. It was just amazing to hear somebody be able to put that kind of work together. So I'm fascinated. But if you look at the cover of the album produced by Arthur Prysock, you can see the resemblance between the book cover that I did called Romantic Images of You and the album cover where he has This Is My Beloved is kind of a nude body in a silhouette. I have a young lady laying backwards with some beautiful red lipstick, and it's called Romantic Images of You. And our typefaces are almost the same. So I'm going to give you another preview of what he really talks about and what he has written. It's called Your Words Are Born. And I want you to listen seriously to how he writes and then the different people that take what he's written and turn it into a masterpiece.
Your words are born, not spoken. Dimensional, soft, vowel words, palpable to the eye or to the fingertip. Exquisitely curved as the young that flowers conceive. Often have I watched your lips shape words, and your tongue nudge them out like small birds, not wholly certain of their wings. Your sweetest words are those shaped ovally, like plums or wild birds' eggs. And the long, bright ribbons you lack, the multitude of hyacinth and bluebells. When I see words like soft gray catkins, I know they are of love. Whatever else my ears register, and because your mouth is like the flesh of ripe fig, often I take your words unsaid, as the brown honey bear slips his red tongue into the nest of sleeping bees to take out honey, and the sweet natural taste the pussy willow, full of your words, is lovelier than their shape, our music.
Now, I don't know about you, but I was really touched by that. And so imagine, as a young man, you're able to recite those words identically to the young ladies you're starting to date and get to know. And they are so fascinated with the whole issues of poetry and gallantry and excellence in being able to repeat that, which is why I say one day I want to go into the recording studio and actually re-record those poems, just like Arthur Prysock did. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to the Don S. McClure Show, and you can reach me at McClureDonS@gmail.com or McClureDonS@yahoo.com. Or you can call me if you got a question at 347-633-9376. That's my call-in numbers, Yahoo, text account. I see I got some texts. I always get some different calls. But we're going to take a quick PSA. We'll be right back, and when we come back, we're going to talk more about Walter Benton and how I was inspired by his work, and I hope you're inspired to get into your own diary and start writing for yourself.
Overactive bladder affects approximately 1 in 6 Americans, yet only 40% seek treatment. The condition causes a sudden urge to urinate. As you get older, the chances of experiencing overactive bladder increase. OAB can affect your daily lifestyle, causing depression, emotional distress, and sleep disturbance. I'm Representative Patty Ballock from Illinois. Women in Government, an organization of women state legislators, encourages you to learn the symptoms of OAB. They include feeling a strong urge to urinate, involuntary loss of urine, urinating 8 or more times in a day, and awakening 2 or more times to urinate. Treatment options are available. Don't be afraid to seek medical help. The condition is more common than you think. Talk with your healthcare provider if you experience any of these symptoms. To learn more about overactive bladder, visit womeningovernment.org. That's womeningovernment.org.
This is Chicago-style hot dog here. I'm not feeling too good. Turns out, along with all the other bad things my cholesterol does, they say it's a risk factor for strokes. Strokes? Sheesh. Good news from National Stroke Association. Exercising, eating right, and asking your doctor about medicines that can help lower your cholesterol, like statins, may reduce the risk of a first stroke. And if you've already had a stroke, it's even more important you lower your cholesterol.
Lower your chances of stroke by controlling your cholesterol. Visit stroke.org today.
Well, we're back, and you're listening to the Don S. McClure Show, and I am the one and only Don S. McClure. And it's amazing that that PSA just played about strokes, because that's what Walter Benton died from. So when we talk about health, those are important issues to take a look at what it is that may be affecting how long you're going to be on this earth. And it's sad that that condition took away one of the greatest poets and poetry writers in the world. I mean, the man died at 69 years of age, which to me is not that old. And to have that kind of talent and to know that it's being played and worked on and listened to and re-recorded and re-spoke. We talk a lot about spoken word. And what the album shows me is that you don't have to say everything in a rhyme. To me, the greatest poets are storytellers. And that's what he was doing with this. He was telling a story about a love found, a love enjoyed, and then a love lost. So when we're writing, I would like to see his poetry used in movies, in plays, because, again, it was so phenomenal. And you also have to look at the fact that poetry was not about color. It wasn't the black guy writing it or a white guy. It was a person who was born from Russian parents that were immigrants, came to America to get a better life, work with their child, And he ended up being one of the greatest poetry writers in the world. So it shows that you don't always have to have all the best education and come from the richest parents or be involved in everybody in the literary world. I mean, he had a job working as a social worker sometimes. So he understood what poverty was. He understood that because his parents were poor. But to know that he took his desires, and I tell a lot of people sometimes, they say, well, Don, when you write, do I have to write like what everybody else writes like, or do I need to make sure it's correct? It's just like the diary of Anne Frank. These are diaries that people are writing down, which is why I tell them all the time, just get your diary and write in it every day and write your experiences. And you'd be surprised what pieces you could take out of that and turn that into something magnificent so that you could enjoy your written word. I've always said that the written word is the pathway to eternal life. And evidently, if we're sitting here talking about a man that was born in 1907, he died in 1976, but in 1948 and 49, he had sold over 350,000 copies of his work. Now, even if it was $3 a book, you do 350,000 copies times $3. If it was $5 a book. But whatever it is, it's selling today. I looked on the internet, and his work was going for $18, $25. Some people were bidding on it. And it was just amazing. Again, I was so fascinated by his work. But it opened my eyes to a couple other things. When I heard it done by Arthur Prysock, I really thought that that was something he collaborated with. And I saw the name Walter Benton, but I never put two and two together. I was so fascinated with Arthur Prysock that I didn't bother to say, well, who wrote these words? And as I grew in the arts and became more mature, I did start looking for who was the author behind these great things, who made the film, who wrote the words for the film. Like I was listening to the Queen Latifah show, and she was talking to Kerry Washington in Scandal. And Kerry was saying the same things, that the writers put together these things, and she has to feel these things, but the writers are putting these scripts together. So writing is one of the most important things in the world, whether it's family history, your love history, adventure, whatever you want to do, you should start to write those things down. They tell me that even to get a great look at your health, you could write down daily what you eat and start to build from that to find a better pathway to a better health. So that's why I always say that writing is so important. For me, it's just amazing to hear other artists do their thing and to go beyond just the Shakespeare's or the Maya Angelou's and just saying the Harlem Renaissance, big world out there of poetry. And it's so amazing to hear. And it's even more amazing when a guy can actually repeat these words. Women are always talking about romance, and they said they want to be with a romantic type guy. Well, poetry plays a role in that romance. I remember seeing the movie with Cyrano de Bergerac, and Cyrano was in love with Roxanne. And there was also Christian. Christian was in love with Roxanne, but he couldn't say the words that Roxanne had fell in love with because Cyrano would write her these beautiful poems. And so she looked for these. So one day, Christian went out to the balcony and stood there up under the balcony saying the words that Cyrano had written. Well, she was in love with what she heard, even though it wasn't exactly from the man that she had basically fell in love with. Then at the end of the movie, you see her say, I was in love with two men. She was in love with Christian for the way he was outside of the words, and she was in love with Cyrano because of the words he could write. So she had both her lovers that she fell in love with. There was one package and two people. But I think the thing that would have been better is had Cyrano told her, but he was ashamed of how he looked. So he never went to Roxanne because he felt like he had this huge, huge nose, and he was a cavalier. I mean, he's one of the greatest swordsmen that time. But he didn't think that she would look at him. But other women were just so fascinated with his words, they overlooked the fact that he had a large nose. So, again, they got into the way that he could recite poetry. I think poetry is the one beautiful thing that you could get involved in as a male. I mean, learning the words. And it doesn't mean that you're soft or that you're feminine or that you haven't got your act together as a male. It just means that you've found that soft side, that romantic side, that will make a woman feel so close to you because she realizes the talent that it may take for you to learn to recite that. So when we say romance, we put it in the definition of going out, having dinner, going to a movie, but it's so much bigger than that. Can you imagine you and your mate walking on the riverfront, whether it's in Texas or San Antonio or Chicago on the riverfront or even Memphis, and you're holding hands and he's repeating some poetry to you as you might stop on a bridge. And that will be your painting for years to come because you'll remember when you just were there on that bridge. It was a romantic evening. The weather was warm. Nice night, the stars were out, and here it is, this guy has you kind of close to him, and he's repeating poetry to you. Those are the things that people in romance want to have. I just think it's amazing somebody of that caliber could actually be a regular person and want to write and want to do things to have it where his work is being so reproduced, that it's just gallantry in motion. I'm going to play this next song for you. It's called I Shall Wish for You, and it's one of my favorites on the album. And I bought the album, I bought the CD, I bought the MP3 from Amazon. You can get it on there, called This Is My Beloved. It's called I Shall Wish for You, and it's so beautiful. I'm telling you, I played the whole thing in my car. I've lost it. I bought it. I played it again, but I want you to listen to this. I Shall Wish for You.
Each time I know beauty, it shall be through you. When joy lifts me high, or sorrow breaks me, when I love again, my senses conditioned to you will be forgetting you anew. Each kiss that fills my mouth shall fill it with your lips. Yes, each time my eyelids crumble and close under blood's fire impact, when love strikes home, yours will be the mouth, and yours the disengaging arms. I will be forgetting you in silence and in song. In silence will I dream dreams of you, too wonderful to dare aloud. And of words I shall not use for anyone but you. I shall make poems. When a star falls, I shall wish for you. When the moon is new, I shall wish for you. When a bird looks into my window, when a leaf falls before me, when I find a fern in flower, I shall wish for you.
Now, again, that was so amazing. So the next time that you want to have a romantic dinner with this person that you care about, imagine playing that in the background softly, a nice glass of wine, a small dinner that you prepared, the vegetables, the spinach, the rice, the small portions of meat. Doesn't have to be large. And imagine saying Happy Valentine's Day with that type of movement. You know, to me, romance has a lot to do with flowers, but just the essence of the softness of romance is what a lot of people miss. We think it has to be just vibrant, but usually romance is soft. And if you listen to that piece that I just played, the violin started off, that whole thing, and of course picking an artist like Arthur Prysock to do it, phenomenal, but there were other people that realized they could repeat those words to music and bring a whole new world and enjoyment to what Walter wrote. I'm not sure if that incident in his mind really happened or whether that was part of his imagination. But I remember writing this story called The Train Ride in my book, Romantic Images of You. And I got so many great replies of women saying, Don, that was just mind-blowing. Because the story is about a young man who's in love, who has my middle name, as a matter of fact, and he's in love with Tiana. And when he gets on the train, he falls asleep, and he has an imaginary affair with Tiana, the woman he loves, on the train. And when he gets ready to leave, there's an old woman that looks at him, and she could see the love he has in his face. And she says, you must be in love. And he just smiled. And when he gets ready to get off the train, Tiana's standing there with the exact same dress that he imagined on the train while he was asleep. And it was his favorite dress that he really liked about her, that he bought it for, because it was his favorite. He enjoyed seeing her in it. And when he got off the train and received a really passionate kiss from her, the old lady walked past him and said, I told you you were in love. And then she just kept going. So Tiana looked and said, what is she talking about? And he just laughed and said, let's go home. The point is, when you find that person you really want to be with and they reach the airport, there's nothing wrong with you giving them a sincere embrace. That's the romance. And maybe even have those flowers where you give them to him when he reaches the airport. See, it's not always about, romance is not about always the female getting everything. It's sometimes just the passion of her giving her desires and her passion and displaying that, even in the public, that people can see, like the old lady saw, that they were in love. Well, like I said, I'm not sure when Walter wrote that, if it was him he was talking about from his diary, or was it just the emotions and the stuff that he just liked to write. But I do know that some of that had to be a reflection of how he felt. And it more than likely was somebody that he was in love with. And it was tragic because it was one of those stories where he fell in love, met the girl of his dreams, wanted to be with her forever. But for some reason, she didn't show up at the church. And one day, as I do more checking, I'm going to find that whole album for you so I could play that maybe during Valentine's Day. But like I said, we always talk about love and romance and caring and being involved with somebody. But just those small things, and maybe not even being able to repeat the words, but maybe if you just kept them in your head, think about that while you're in that soft mood, you're working on the typewriter, and all of a sudden the power goes out. Well, you have the candles there. You could turn that into those romantic moments. And if you got Xbox or something like that, you can hit your computers that if you've got a strong battery power, you can cut that soft album on. A lot of times when I'm working, I play a lot of classical music. So I enjoy classical because it's soft, and especially when I'm trying to write a romantic piece. I've gotten a lot of letters about how I write and the enjoyment they got out of my book, Romantic Images of You. And, yes, you could get it on my website at www.dsm.net. You can get it there, or you can write me, and I'll send you a link to the website. You can get it on Kindle. It is available on Kindle. And I remember a friend of mine in California. She's a school teacher, beautiful woman, beautiful black woman. She had bought the book on Kindle, and so when I first heard it over the phone, we were talking, and she played it for me on her Kindle. And to hear this man or the male voice repeat my words on a Kindle over the phone, I was just blown away because it reminded me a lot of Walter Benton's work and when I had first heard Arthur Prysock. So there was a lot that influenced me to say, I want to be that kind of writer. I remember seeing the movie Dresden and Isildur, and some of the wording in there when they're talking about how they felt about each other. That's a great story, great film that you need to take a look at. It's about two people that are in families and countries that are not in harmony with each other. They don't like each other. But these two meet by chance. She doesn't tell him her real name, so he doesn't know. So he gives her away in a contest to his king, and then they have to fight for the love that they have. And it's such an amazing story because it shows you that her guardian, the female she was with when she found him, he asked her her name, and she didn't tell him her real name. So he had no idea who she was. Matter of him, her name was the maiden's name she was with. Well, not knowing that, when he fought the championship fight for her, he thought he was fighting for somebody else. So it shows you that she should have told him in the beginning her real name, and maybe that wouldn't have happened. So sometimes when you really care about a person, maybe you should just really tell them. I mean, buy a Hallmark card if you can't figure out how to do it. But cards, flowers, candy are still the biggest things going in romance. But the top of the mark is the words that you either use, repeat, or just say on a card when you pick those special cards. It means a lot to that person, believe it or not. And guys, like I said, it doesn't mean that you're soft or you're weak. I remember watching a lot of the movies that I admired, and the guys were soldiers, especially in this movie called Prince of Foxes. I mean, he's a great artist, and when the young woman that he meets that he does fall in love with asks the guy who owns the art gallery, who sells the paintings, she said, well, who is that? And he says, that's Andre Orsini. And he's a soldier who knows a lot about art. And when he's painting a portrait of her, it is so beautiful that he asks my lady, and I like the term when he says my lady, not to look. And when she sees it, she says, is this how you see me? It was so beautiful. Some of these movies that you see, there's some wording in there that are just, it's just so exciting. And it makes you feel the comfort of what romance really means. I remember in the movie Man in the Iron Mask, and when he's leaving the queen that he's been in love with, he's a musketeer, and he tells her, he says, I know to love you is a crime against France, but not to love you is a crime against my heart. And she says, well, then we both must die traitorously, because she's in love with him. She's the queen, fell in love with him. So when you see those love stories, it's the writers who are putting this stuff together that they have an emotional bond to the words that they're creating. We're going to take a quick break. I'll be right back. I've got 14 more minutes on the show, and I am truly enjoying it, actually 13. But we got to play these PSAs, and definitely, again, this segment is supported by Evelyn Young. So we'll be right back with the Don S. McClure Show, and you are the fans that I enjoy.
Heart disease remains a leading killer of Americans and significantly affects the quality of life of countless others who have trouble doing even simple things they once enjoyed. I'm Jimmy Johnson, and like someone you probably know, I have heart disease. Today I'm doing what I love, spending time outdoors and with my family, talking football, and even competing on Survivor. But just a few short years ago, heart disease could have kept me from the sidelines. I couldn't let that happen. My whole career has been about hard work to achieve success. I knew there had to be a winning solution, and I talked to my doctor. Then, working with an interventional cardiologist, we decided on a stent to relieve my heart disease symptoms. I've never looked back. As a survivor, I'm urging you to talk to your doctor and know your risk, because your own health is more important than the biggest game. Learn about your heart disease, get proper treatment, and live well. For more information, visit secondscount.org.
And we're back with the Don S. McClure Show, and I have a caller. Let me see if I can get my caller in. Hello, caller. How are you? You're calling from the 313 area. It must be Michigan.
Yes, it is. It is Michigan. This
well,
is Sheila. This is Sheila, your Facebook buddy.
Oh, well, how are you?
I'm doing well. And yourself?
Oh, I cannot complain. And I have a lot of Facebook buddies. But you know what? So what do you think about this romance that Walter Benton wrote?
Oh, well, I am enjoying it. I'm enjoying the show immensely. And I wasn't aware of any of his writings, but I'm doing some research now and getting familiar with it. But I'm enjoying it very much.
Yeah, because mm-hmm. I was so amazed. Like I said, when I learned about him, I had no idea, like I said, whether he was white, black, came from Russia, whatever he did. I just knew I liked his work. And I tell
right.
a lot of people, you know, we're so busy looking for just the black poets or the white poets, rather than mm-hmm. saying poetry is words that live. And
right.
I was just amazed. And I guess I thought he was black because of Arthur Prysock. And then to come to find out he's born in 1907, a time that none of us were even around, which proves
right.
that we're not exposed to a lot of the writers. And I tell people that all the time. They'll say, well, I never heard of him. I say, well, you know what? There's thousands of writers you haven't heard of. It doesn't mean they're not good. It just means you haven't heard of them.
Right. That's true. That's true. And I've always been a person that wants to find out what happened before I got here. So
yes,
I'm
was
very
a whole
much
lot.
Interested. And I'm also interested in your book. The Romantic Images of You. I am a Kindle user, so I can download that off of there.
Yeah, you can get it from
mm-hmm.
Kindle. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, the first part of the book introduces the fact that I had met a young lady at a gas station, and we had such a great vibe for each other. So I put that in the book. And then
mm-hmm.
I just went through my life and picked just different things that I saw in movies, things I liked. So I threw the imagination in there. But that was how I created the couple, David and Tiana. I wanted them to have a love affair that was lasting forever, never had a whole lot of issues because they loved each other. They met, fell in love. There's an art gallery they build together. They go on vacation in the book called The Gods in the Beginning of Life. So that was just an amazing thing. But every time that I was writing, I went back to this album, This Is My Beloved. And now I'm going to buy the book off Amazon, his
mm-hmm.
actual work, because I really want to be able to record that next year in the studio.
Mm-hmm. 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 Well, yeah, so I definitely will be downloading that book, and I'll let you know what I think.
Yeah, you write me and tell me, so this is your Facebook buddy, and I fell in love with this book, like Walter Benton. So thanks for giving me a call.
You're welcome.
You have a good weekend.
Good night.
Goodbye, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, it's so many good people out there. We've got thousands and thousands of friends and associates on Facebook, and each day they get to touch our lives. I remember getting a report that over 6,000 people had Googled my name. And even though it wasn't millions, But just to have 6,000 people take a look at my work, or friends of mine write on Facebook and say, Don, I remember Missy just wrote me a note and told me that when I get to Memphis, she said, guess who's going to be at your book signing? So this advice is going to the new writers. You don't have to always sell a million copies to be active. And there's a friend of mine tonight that I've got to send a shout out for. Her name is C. Lynn Williams. She is doing a promotion right now, a book signing. She's at the House of Blues, 329 North Dearborn in Chicago. She's there right now signing books. So if you can, try to get there and see what you could do. Maybe you can get a book from her. She's a fantastic writer and a fantastic person and a fantastic woman. Let's see if I can get this other call in. Hello, caller. You're from the 347 area.
Hi, this is Darlene. How you doing?
Hey, Darlene, how you doing? You're calling from California?
Darlene.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, this is a great, great person on my phone line. So how are you?
All right, and you?
I am doing great. Have you heard any parts of the show?
Yes, I have. In fact, I wasn't, again, familiar with the author, but I have started looking up some of his stuff on the internet.
I'm glad.
Yes, the show has been very informative. I'm loving it. I'm loving the romance.
Yeah, I like the romance, too. I want to get some flowers and stuff. Maybe have somebody tell me some poetry while I'm laying up in some bath water or something.
I know that's right.
Yeah. You know, you come
I just
from
wanted to call in and show my support for you, and I love the show, and I will continue to listen.
Well, thank you so much. You have a good weekend.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You know what, ladies and gentlemen, like I say, for me, people always ask me why I'm so happy. I truly enjoy writing, but I love giving respect to the people that I actually learn from. And it's out there. The examples are out there, whether they're 1930 films, Hitchcock, whatever they are. And even today, I was watching some of the black poets on TV. They have a new show that comes on, and they're doing spoken word. And it's just putting it out there. And I think we need to give more credit to the written word, because again, the great songs that we're hearing had to be written by somebody. And sometimes we overlook that. We just say, oh, I love Beyonce, or I love Sierra, or songs they do are also written by maybe somebody else. And we need to give some credit to that. I got a friend of mine named Kenny Reichardt. I mean, he's a great singer, and I've heard a lot of his songs. I know personally a young lady named Yvonne Gage, great singer, great, just tremendous singer. Chicago-based. These are people with a lot of talent, and they write. So sometimes we need to start looking at that. I know we were watching the Delphonics. I just had a chance to watch their show the other night on the history. It's called Unsung, and I learned a lot about their writing, their disagreements inside the group. But the fantastic part I got from that was how they sat there and put these songs together. We got 4 more minutes on the show. This is the Don S. McClure Show, and, of course, I am the one and only Don S. McClure. We're going to take a quick PSA and come back, and then we're going to get ready to wrap this show up. But I am so in love after hearing that romance. And like I said, hey, I want to get some romance. I want to be in a shower and somebody playing some romance for me. Anyway, we'll be right back. I got to play the PSA from Missouri because that's a state that supports me.
Finding quality child care is important. Do you know the questions to ask?
Are children supervised at all times?
Does the staff know first aid and CPR?
Be child care aware. Just call Child Care Aware of Missouri at 1-866-892-3228 or log on to mo.childcareaware.org.
How many children are being cared for?
Does this child care program have an emergency plan?
Finding the right child care could be one of the biggest decisions any parent will ever make. Let us help. Valuable information for parents as well as child care providers is available online and on the phone, and it's all free.
Have all the child care providers gone through a background check?
Have they had proper child care training?
The questions you need answered. The answers you've been looking for. Call Child Care Aware of Missouri at 1-866-892-3228 or log on to mo.childcareaware.org. Be Child Care Aware.
Now, you know, again, I'm going to play, before we leave, Your Words Are Born. I mean, if you listen and look this up, this was so amazing. Your Words Are Born, Not Spoken. There Are No Soft Vowel Words. I mean, that was something to listen to. So we got a couple of minutes. I want to play that again so you can kind of really feel what I'm talking about and tell your young man or your lady, hey, you want some romantic music playing.
Your words are born, not spoken, dimensional soft vowel words, palpable to the eye or to the fingertip. Exquisitely curved as the young that flowers conceive. Often have I watched your lips shape words and your tongue nudge them out like small birds, not wholly certain of their wings. Your sweetest words are those shaped ovally, like plums or wild birds' eggs. And the long, bright ribbons you lack, the multitude of hyacinth and bluebells. When I see words like soft gray catkins, I know they are of love. Whatever else my ears register, and because your mouth is like the flesh of ripe fish.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I got to get ready to go. I got 90 seconds. She's in my ear. But I'm going to play this till we leave the air. I'm going to say goodnight. And as I always say, this is a beautiful life, and it's meant to be lived. So enjoy the rest of this piece. It's going to take me out of my show, and I'm going to say goodnight and have a great weekend.
Each time I know beauty, it shall be through you. When joy lifts me high, or sorrow breaks me. When I love again, my senses conditioned to you will be forgetting you anew. Each kiss that fills my mouth shall fill it with your lips. Yes. Each time my eyelids crumble and close under blood's fire impact,